jump, 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 jump. I said a hip hop, the hibbit, hip, 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 hip hop, you don't stop. Rap, 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 rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp enough.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's the end of the week. It's 8:38 here on News Radio 92.3, and I have a couple of friends here in studio with me to just chat about the events of the week and whatever else happens to come up. I always love this because it's the only time when I have no idea where the show is going. I mean, I have some idea, but mostly... You know, I might think it's going to go over here, and then, you know, we just wind up in Mississippi, and it's a good time in Mississippi sometimes. It's
sometimes,
fine.
Absolutely.
We have Josh Newby, a many times offender here on the wrap, who is the executive director of the Council on Aging.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Very good. And we have Allison Bennett, also a longtime friend of the show and, you know, calls in with tips and perspectives all the time. And, of course, a community activist and former police chief.
Police officer.
Police officer,
and
okay.
A former county deputy. So.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Elsewhere in Florida, but still good enough.
Yes.
And as his hat identifies, I'm a Vietnam veteran.
Yes.
Which I appreciate that. Allison, welcome back. So let's start with this, just because I know, Allison, something you're passionate about. You know, I know you are always very connected to when there's incidents of violence.
Yes.
You know, whether somebody gets hurt or doesn't get hurt, shootings very much concern you, as they, you know, rightly should. But this incident that took place out of Workman Middle School, which is, you know, anytime there's something close to a school, that's always a very sobering thing because, you know, outside could be inside or nearby. You know, that's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, at least they had, you know, apprehended the person, but that doesn't solve the underlying, well, why did this happen in the first place?
Well, I was at a funeral home yesterday doing a viewing of Georgia Blackman, and...
Oh, yeah.
The gentleman sitting next to me, he said it was his nephew that got shot at Workman Middle School. And I told him, I said, hey, I thank God that your nephew survived.
Yeah.
But we all as citizens ought to do all we can to discourage people to commit acts of violence. I mean, enough is all this shooting going on. It's just too much.
And now you and I were talking about this off the air before we started, that my impression of the events, and, you know, I kind of tried to double check on this, but was that it was sort of it happened while there was basketball going on inside, but it wasn't connected to the crowd or the school. It was just an isolated incident.
Absolutely.
Okay.
This guy that drove up, 24 years old, decided he wanted to shoot somebody.
Mm.
In talking with... law enforcement, they think it's related to another shooting that happened maybe a year ago.
Okay.
But it is ridiculous. I tell people all the time, you can disagree with a person all day. You don't have to shoot them.
Yeah. What do you think of this, you know, they're starting this program in the Escambia County School System where they're going to do anger management classes as a way to help with the troubled students, repeat offenders, I guess. And, I mean, I personally think... Great. Try something. You know, if you're going to, you know, teach some, you know, some self-evaluation, psychological, social skills to folks who, you know, may have never been given anything like that. And I kind of think, like, even if it doesn't stick for many of them, even if you, if all you do is change the lives of a 10% or a quarter of the kids, I mean, that's still better than nothing, right, Josh?
Yeah. And, you know, I think that kids see, you know, public freakouts and Karens freaking out about things tend to go viral on social media and TikTok. And so children consuming that think that that's how you deal with conflict.
Oh, my God,
so
true.
You raise the temperature all the way to the top. You have this big public freakout. And that's what they're seeing. So that's how they're understanding conflict. That's how they're understanding how to deal with conflict. So it makes sense that, you know, their first step is not a conversation. Their first step is not to ask a question. Their first step is to get into a fight or to raise the temperature. So if we can bring that down, I think it's going to be huge.
No, that's a great point. And, you know, a lot of times if you grow up in, I'll just say, a healthy family, mm-hmm. you know, what you see is a lot of conflict resolution. You see a lot of de-escalation. Definitely. You see people negotiate. And, you know, you see friction points that get alleviated.
Right.
And if you're not seeing that at home, and what you are seeing is friends who are also coming from unhealthy backgrounds, and they don't see a lot of that at home, and then you go on social media, or you watch a movie, or, you know, all the programming you're getting is reinforcing the wrong pattern.
Right.
Absolutely.
Where would you ever learn the healthy pattern from any of that? And, you know, look, nobody's going to run a news story on the time when people successfully de-escalated.
Right.
Though we should if we want to prevent people from learning the bad patterns. But, no, I agree with you. That's a great point.
A good friend of mine, Reverend Rodney Jones, started a program October the 2nd, and it's called New World Believer Hoops. Have nothing to do with basketball. This is for children between the ages of 12 and 18, mm-hmm. They're going to talk, counsel them on anger management, financial illiteracy, depression. And the good thing about it, they will pay these young people $50 a week.
Oh, great.
To attend the program.
An incentive that they understand.
Yeah.
And they have counselors for the parents. Because what we find, you can nurture a child at school all you want.
Right.
It is the environment they're going back to at the end of the day.
Yeah, and, you know, the amount of time, even though, you know, teachers have a lot of time with a kid.
Yes.
But most of that time is spent in education or facilitation. It's not really spent in mentoring or, you know, psychological instruction or anything like that. And as you say, if they then go home and things are a mess at home, that's the longstanding pattern that they internalize. And, you know, the things that you see that result in, you know, like the retaliatory shooting or the, you know, the group of criminal juveniles going around, you know, we don't have the smash and grabs here, but we do have the car door openings and the taking of the money and guns and whatever they can find. I know this is not particularly a Christian perspective on it, but I believe in anybody can be redeemed. But in terms of what's practically useful as a social response, I worry that for those like a 17 or a 16-year-old who's already engaging in that, that's hard to rescue. Yeah. It's a whole lot easier to divert an 8-year-old than it is to divert a 16-year-old. Am I?
Yeah.
No, well, you're absolutely right. You know, I said last week, 2 weeks ago, when the 15-year-old young lady shot her mother and her mother fiance, right. if somebody could have got to this child when she was 12 or 10 and instill in her positive things, can you imagine someone shooting their mother? That child, 15 years old, should have been getting ready to go to school that morning.
Right,
right.
Not shooting your mother and your mother's fiance. That is just, but that is the climate in which we live. It is so much negative things out there on social media, and people glorify gangsters. Mm-hmm. I don't understand that.
Yeah. And then like taking that particular case, you say, well, what would be normal for her? What is her pattern? What is she following? What is she seeing? Right. And, you know, I don't know that, like the Blazer Academy, it's going to affect a couple dozen people at a time. Or this anger management thing might affect a few dozen people at a time. Or, you know, Big Brothers and Big Sisters might affect, a few hundred people over the course of time. You know, and those things, to me, I think those things make a difference. But it's finding, you know, who's vulnerable, who's prone towards the wrong direction, finding them early enough that you can have leverage and really influence it, and then getting the influence that they need.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you learn this in marriage. You learn this raising kids. It is amazing what walking away from a situation for 60 seconds.
Oh, my God,
It is the last thing you want to do when, you know, your monkey brain takes over.
Right.
But teaching a 5-year-old that, an 8-year-old that, just walk away. Just take a minute.
Yeah.
Take a beat, I think, could be.
I know my monkey brain's as powerful as any, and it's, you know, it's about the take a breath, leave the situation. It, you know, it's amazing, and it may not be even for just your benefit, but for the other person
Absolutely.
Too. You know, sometimes, you know, you're giving both parties. I always tell my, it's the thing I've probably said to my kids. I don't have a lot of catchphrases with my boys, but the thing I have told them more than anything else, probably, other than I love you, is just go to a different place.
Yeah.
Leave the area. Yes. Leave the area. And, you know, just that is like a miracle worker for, you know, effective conflict resolution. 847 on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic for us.
29 not showing any delays or anything. It looks like a good morning so far. Scenic turning onto the curve at Cervantes, not showing any problems. If you see an accident or have a traffic tip, you can text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
So speaking of outstanding conflict resolution skills, we had a GOP debate this week. that was the hallmark of civility, decency.
We had decency. Six or seven speeches that were happening at the same time.
Yeah, kind of a little bit too view-esque for me, but if you're looking to the GOP to pattern for you outstanding diplomacy and civility, well, you weren't seeing it on Fox Business, but then again, very few people were seeing it on Fox Business because nobody was watching, apparently, but... What did you think of the debate, Josh?
I had the thought. I remember in 2016 when there were so many Republicans running. Mm-hmm. They had, you know.
17, I think it was. It was crazy.
They
had
the primary debate, and then they had the sort of undercard debate.
That's right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
This feels, I mean, every person on that stage is polling cumulatively less than Trump.
Right.
Trump is still 20 points ahead of everyone combined. So this feels like the undercard debates of yore where everyone's just trying to make as much noise. I think the only adult in the room was Nikki Haley.
Well, I thought she did well.
And I agree. I told people I hope she emerges as the front runner or the nominee.
Listen, could win the general.
She would demolish Biden in the general. I'm sure of that.
When are these people going to talk about gun control? We have a gun problem in America. Let's talk about doing things for senior citizens. And I'm so glad you're here to talk about counseling on the aging. But let's do things that help everyday working people, which bring to my mind a shutdown.
Right.
I lived through that the last time it happened. That is not a good feeling, someone telling you got to come to work every day and not pay. Now, I know they do pay the government employees back pay.
Right. They'll get it eventually, but that doesn't help you.
That don't help you in the present.
Right.
And I think everyone in Congress should say, hey, I'm not accepting my pay either. If I'm going to hinder other people from getting a check, I should not accept mine.
Yeah, it's a truly bizarre situation when the people who can't figure out how to make a budget work are still going to get their own pay. Because what did you do to earn this exactly? If you can't manage to do the simple, most basic, fundamental operation of government?
I mean, it's the full faith and credit, right? And at this point, they're compromising the bond rating. I mean, Moody's is talking about downgrading them, and we're in record, you know, debt to GDP ratio. What is that? Say about our issue to sell debt, to finance our own debt. It is ridiculous.
And yet,
we were saying before we got on air, thank the good Lord they passed, you know, a clothing standards measure.
They successfully reinvigorated the dress code because Lord knows we can't get a budget deal done, but we can make sure that John Fetterman don't show up in shorts and a hoodie. Good. Well done, sirs and ma'ams. Yes. You really, you know, carried the ball across the finish line with this one.
It is amazing.
So, you know, here's the thing. Like, most, certainly Republicans and many Democrats, they say fiscal responsibility. They say do the good thing. They say we're going to be smart. But then they go up there and they don't do that.
Well, Lumen is a fiscal conservative.
So ask him. He'll tell you. Yeah, exactly. And then Bergosh will tell you he's even more.
Right.
But we keep reelecting him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's the sad part.
Right.
Because it's weird. Yeah. This weird phenomenon where we hate all the other members of Congress,
except we
love ours.
Right.
Right.
And then everybody,
I just want to reelect
ours, okay? And, you know, they're loved enough that they keep getting reelected. I mean, for goodness sake, Hank Johnson in Georgia gets reelected, you know? Like, and so collectively as a country, we apparently, we love our person, but we send a group back there who are incompetent at the job.
Well, a person is smart, people are stupid.
And apparently Congress proves the point.
Yes, exactly.
Andrew, what do you think about the situation where the people that was held hostage by Iran I tell people, it was Iran money that we was holding anyway. They didn't take something out of the budget of the United States. They say, look, we'll free up your $6 billion or whatever if you give us these Americans back.
Unlike the pallets of cash we sent the first time under Obama, right? This was not actually our money or not seized money, right? This was,
So it was like,
I still don't like it because it seems, you know, it's setting the pattern,
yes,
right? Setting an expectation and a precedent. Yeah. And frankly, it's I'm under no expectation that that money is actually going to get used for the humanitarian purposes it's supposedly earmarked for.
Well, you're dealing. Look who you're dealing.
Yeah, it's Iran. I mean, you know, you don't take hostages and
then
get paid.
I'm just glad to
see
the Americans back home.
Absolutely. I mean, that's an outcome nobody can argue with, right?
Absolutely.
But the how do we get there, and what does it mean for the future? That's the part that concerns me. 437-1620 if you have something that you want me to ask our guests, I will try to do my best for it. Yeah, I'm concerned about, see, I guess I haven't been worried about this shutdown because every other time something takes care of it. Like
let me ask you something, Andrew. Should we eliminate the debt ceiling?
Oh, I go the other way. I think you should pass a balanced budget amendment.
Okay.
No, but I'm with you in this, that the debt ceiling serves no function.
Correct.
Because they just violate it and raise it.
Correct.
You know, I mean,
absolutely.
And so there's no point in pretending it's an actual thing.
It's an active theater.
Right, exactly. And so in that regard, why bother keeping it?
Well, it was Warren Buffett, right, that said that you should index the GDP and tie.
Yeah, I remember him 5%. Having something fairly creative.
Right.
But they have to obey it. And again,
correct.
What apparently they don't believe there's enough value to them politically to doing the things that would be necessary to make that happen. And so they keep getting reelected. So, politicians are purely selfish beasts in the sense that they understand the market of their political, you know, electoral chances, and they do what they need to get reelected. And they clearly don't believe that solving the budget, the deficit, getting spending under control, doing better, doing their jobs, that any of that is going to cost them an election if they don't accomplish
it. And to the credit of some of our GOP potential nominees, they've called Trump out.
Yes.
For, you know, the conservative
side. As much debt expansion
as
anybody.
Exactly.
Absolutely, right. Yeah. Of course, I will say this in somewhat of a defense of Trump. How many of them do we know would have done different under the same circumstances?
Exactly. And that's the thing, is they're hypocrites.
I mean, obviously DeSantis can claim he does line item vetoes, and he does because he has that power in the state of Florida. And
you can't do that on the federal level.
But the budget has expanded, and again, though I'm a DeSantis supporter in a lot of ways, there's a lot of money came to Florida from the feds under the spending that he and other GOP members like to decry as the source of inflation. Well, So there's a lot to this story more than meets the eye.
As a former elected official, I served on the city council in Haines City, Florida from 84 to 87. And I always said, I'm not going to ask someone to do something I'm not willing to do myself.
Mm-hmm.
So why would I sit on any governing body and say, okay, guys, you're not going to get your paycheck, but I'm going to get mine.
Right.
I just think that's awful.
I'll just be honest. I would easily ask other people to do things that I won't do because I don't want to do the garbage, and I don't want to do the sewer, and I don't want to be the cop, and I don't want to be the EMS, and I'm glad they do it, but I will pay them. I will pay them what they're due. We're having the wrap right now with Josh Newby and Allison Bennett. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
As we take a look around, good news is we're not showing any of these slowdowns or delays. There is an accident now off 98. It's Frankfort Street, Citrus Drive, and Manatee Street in Navarre. But again, not blocking anything. Everything in Baghdad looking fine. Same in Milton, 90, 87, all good. And 89, too, for that matter. If you have traffic tips, text them in. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Ken. You got a text in here. Somebody says that in the military, we called it a training timeout, when you're told to walk away from a situation.
Yes.
Training. Yeah, you know, and that's actually kind of an interesting one because, you know, the military has to deal with all kinds of things like this.
Absolutely.
You know, people who haven't learned good, you know, social skills or self-assessment skills or, you know, conflict negotiation. I mean, obviously, a big part of training in the military is, you know, how to effectively kill people and destroy things. But it's also how to operate as a unit cohesion, brotherhood, support, deference, submission, respect to authority.
Mm.
I'm not saying that, you know, we need to have the military running the K-3s, but... maybe worse ideas out there than having some of the retired military that live in this area do a little bit of mentoring.
Yeah, right. Well, discipline is big in the military. I remember when I went to basic training, I went like, oh, my God, who is this drill sergeant?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we have rules and regulations, and politicians feel they do not have to follow the rules and regulations. That's why we have so much chaos.
And the kids. And I sympathize with a lot of the teachers where,
you
know, they feel like they have no stick to swing. I mean, they just, what can you do? You know, and it's whether the culture leading a certain way or things get prohibited or they get the ones, you know, they get raked over the coals if they do anything adverse to the kid. You know, your wife's a teacher, Josh, and,
yeah.
you know, she deals with discipline issues all day long, you know, and she loves her kids.
I go back to my comment from earlier that they model what they see and they model what they yeah. see on TV as successful. Our representatives do the same things.
Yeah.
You know,
are you talking about the Milton City Council now, or the Escambia County Commission, the Santa Rosa County Commission?
Escambia, but no,
pick
I mean,
your target.
You know, Matt Gaetz, Lauren Boebert, you know, yeah. they all go viral for raising the temperature in the room.
Yeah. The loudest
how is what
thing,
they're doing different than what children are doing in our
the
schools.
The best zinger. I mean, the debate. Yeah. The debate was a catastrophe.
Absolutely,
oh,
but the debate was
God.
Easily a reflection of where we are. And not just yeah. and you can only blame the moderators so far.
Right.
Yes. You know, clearly the participants also failed across the board to bring, you know, civility and decorum. But that debate looked an awful lot like anything I see on social media right. or any political yes. discussion I see in real life. That just
another
looks like people these days.
Soap opera.
Yeah.
You
right.
know, that's what...
And in that way they represent their base.
Right.
And what else can we ask?
Because people and look, the king of all of that.
Yeah.
I mean, Trump wasn't there, but he's the king of all of
right.
that. He's not a de-escalator. He's not a
no.
conflict. Yeah, I mean, no. he might be effective in negotiation, but as a model for, you know, rapprochement
yeah.
and unity
You're
and
right.
burying the hatchet. I mean, for goodness sakes, he puts up a comment on True Social about how General Milley, who's
right.
retiring, would have deserved the death penalty or at least deserved death as a traitor.
Yeah.
I mean, God, my goodness.
I know.
And yet, 50% of the party,
that's right.
you know, or 60%.
Hey, they
right.
support him. You know, I just want to see somebody who is a good person run for president that have the best interests of the citizens of this country at heart.
Wouldn't it be fantastic, and I know this is a hard stretch to put your brain around, but wouldn't it be fantastic if we had an election in which we thought, I want my person, and they're great, but if we lose, the other person's pretty good, too. Can you imagine?
Can you imagine?
Would never happen.
Well, at least we'll make sure that they're not wearing a hoodie and shorts to
That's
the floor
right.
of the
Oh,
side.
My
so
God.
So we got
yeah.
that.
Yeah.